Junk's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980, 910 The Fan. If you're listening in Richmond, thank you for doing that. And Monumental Sports Network as well. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. You can join their team today. We'll be joined in about an hour by Mike Locksley, head coach of the Maryland Terrapins. They open this weekend in College Park against Florida Atlantic. So that's coming up in just about an hour. I believe we'll be joined shortly by Ben Standing. I think he's joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Ben, good morning. Thanks for the time. We appreciate Ben. It.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
I wish Jason was here. He must be coming back from the bathroom because he was going to tell you, you know this team better than we do. You saw the Brian Robinson thing from a mile away. Tell us what was going into your thought process kind of in the offseason and early in camp.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Look, one of my takeaways from last year was obviously the offense was great, but they didn't get big plays out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. I think that was one of the reasons they brought in Debo Samuel, even though he's receiver by trade, he's going to get 3 to 5 touches a game.
Right.
And, you know, when you just look at, like, how do you improve the group, it just Brian Robinson was just, you know, sort of a singles hitter. Maybe, you know, he only had 5 plays over 20 yards last year, et cetera. But, you know, then they didn't do that much in the offseason. But once I started looking at Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, once saw some of the other guys step up and just, I don't know, you just listen to what is being said and not being said. You kind of get a sense of the room. And, yeah, it was a little bold, I guess, to say to throw it out there like that. But, yeah, that's just kind of how I saw it. I just could not shake the feeling that, that this was going to happen.
Ben, how does the team resist the temptation and the urge to overuse Austin Ekeler? Because in that room right now, he's the most proven guy. And we know that he struggled with concussion issues last season. Like, how are they going to manage his touches? How does he fit in? And how do you see this workload being distributed with the pieces that are remaining?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And if my thought would be, for the love of, you know what, take him off kick return.
I agree wholeheartedly.
I know he was effective last year doing it, but you know the risk-reward just doesn't seem right, especially now. If he's going to get, you know, 15 touches in a game, I would just rather them all be out of the backfield at this stage and let, you know, some other guys do there. But you're right, I think that is going to be a question. I wouldn't be surprised if they do lean on him a little bit more at the top here as they let Bill get his feet wet, you know, see what's up with Chris Rodriguez. I think this really does look like a committee. And I know fantasy football players won't want to hear that, but I think at the top it is looking like that. And by the way, to the point of the Brian Robinson thing, you know, Austin Ekeler is their best 3-down back. He's just limited, you know, in terms of like the amount of workload he can have. And that was sort of the other thought. Like, you can't, I don't think they can replace Ekeler, assuming he plays. And Robinson was like, that spot made more sense to find a more burst, some kind of an upgrade. But yeah, I'm with you. Get Ekeler off kick returns and just give him the touches out of the backfield, but don't go crazy.
Yeah, why not let McCaffrey be the kick returner and then you're protecting Ekeler a little bit?
I was surprised that they didn't use McCaffrey more in the return game in practices this year. I don't know if they, you know, based on how they handled the wide receiver room in general this offseason, I guess I'm assuming that they thought he was going to step up more. That's why they didn't get like some, you know, like more legit vets than the 3 guys they just cut. But you're right. I mean, he was helpful there last year in the return game, and right now I don't see his role as a receiver. So I would 100% do that. Put him back there, Jalen Lane, Jeremy McNichols, whatever you need to do. Just not Ekeler.
Are they going to have all 4 running backs up then?
Yeah, that's a great question. I kind of feel like the answer is yes, because McNichols is a help on special teams. You know, they only have the 5 wide receivers right now. So, yeah, I think that's a good exercise. I did a little bit of that before the 53, like which guys would be put on inactive each week, but I haven't done that since the 53. But, yeah, I would kind of feel like they may have all 4 guys up. Because, look, I mean, even if Bill is not given, you know, RB1 workload, they clearly like the guy, which, and understandably so. So you got to get him in the game. And Chris Rodriguez is the new Brian Robinson in terms of the short yardage stuff. So I do feel like they're going to have all these guys up. Yeah.
All right, talk about the receiver, keeping five. I assume they'll re-sign Ja'Cory Brooks to the practice squad. I also think that I feel like they're going to pick up somebody, right? I don't know who you could pick up. I like Hunter Renfrow, but you know, he hadn't really done anything in like 3 years. Is there anybody out there that has captured your attention?
No. I just tweeted about this. This is the most uninspiring group of final cuts I can recall. reading other reporters around the league, nobody is shocked by anything. And talking to teams since the cutdown, they're all like, "Yeah, there's nothing really that out, there's nothing good out here." So yeah, I mean, look, there are some receivers you could point to and say this guy could be an upgrade. MVS is out there. He's never been my favorite guy. His hands are a little dicey, but could he be this year's De'Ami Brown, the speed guy who just runs straight and Jaden will put the ball there? Maybe. I don't know that he's going to be available for Washington, but, you know, there really just isn't a lot of guys out there. I imagine, right, they'll put Ja'Cory Brooks and probably one or two other receivers on the practice squad just in case. But, yeah, I mean, look, hopefully their scouting department is better than me and see some diamonds in the rough out there. But it just feels like an uninspiring group right now.
Ben, do you think that Terry's going to have enough ramp-up time with him agreeing to the extension just a couple days ago to get enough practices under his belt where he'll be full speed, full ready to go week one against the Giants in less than 2 weeks now?
Yeah. I mean, anybody that knows me knows I'm not exactly the personal trainer type who would be able to assess these things easily. But I guess my wonder is if we're week one – you know, let's just say he typically plays 80% of the snaps, just for argument's sake. I wonder if it's dialed back a little bit when this team is going to go no huddle, up tempo. You've got to be, you know, conditioning-wise, ready to go. I'm sure he's great regular conditioning-wise, but football-wise, we'll see. Hopefully, they've got 11 or so days here to get going. Hopefully, they think that's enough. He'll be out there today, or we're expecting him out there today at least. So, you know, look, I think he'll play, and I'm sure he'll be fine, but, you know, maybe they have to dial it back a smidge right off the top.
Ben, are you concerned? We kind of asked our listeners this a couple segments ago. Are you concerned that this roster is the oldest in the league right now?
Man, they have 21 guys, I think, who are going to be 30 this year.
Yeah. Does that concern you?
Yeah. I don't know how it couldn't. I mean, I don't know if there's like an individual guy where I'm like, boy, he's about to fall off a cliff. But history shows that, you know, if there's a group that's going to be susceptible to injuries or steep decline, it's going to be the older guys. So, yeah, I do think it's a concern. I actually think it's a bigger concern when you look at 2026 because they're going to have a lot of holes to fill and they're going to need to bring in new guys. But obviously that's a next year problem. But, yeah, I do think it's concerning. I guess at least for the most part, a lot of these vets, the older guys, are, you know, sort of some of them are background players. I mean, Zach Ertz, he looked, you know, obviously looked fine last year. Eckler's 30. He looked fine, but the concussions were a thing. You know, so they do have some guys up there. But, yeah, as a whole, I do think it is concerning to how you get through a year with that many guys who are, you know, potentially going to have an injury or take a dip.
So against the Giants, and I think the Giants are going to be better this year, you know, not dramatically better, but I think they'll be better, especially on the defensive side. Are you concerned that since Noah Brown was limited, who knows how much he'll go, if at all, in week one, and obviously Terry missed, you know, the majority of camp, and Cake's already asked you if he's going to be able to ramp up enough. Are you concerned that the receivers, I mean, Debo will be good because he's been there since, you know, July, but the receivers just haven't been there, and that chemistry might not be what Jaden needs coming out of the gate in week one against a pretty good defense.
I mean, there certainly could be a bit of a timing issue for sure. I mean, as much as this is my thing with the receiver room, as much as we all talked about Terry for all the obvious reasons, to me the bigger concern was Noah Brown in that, one, he's dealing with a knee injury now. Seems like he's on pace to play. He looked good warm-ups the other day. But unfortunately, his history shows he's going to get hurt again. And if that happens, I have no idea who would replace him. I know they're trying Jalen Lane out outside more, and that's cool. He's obviously got the speed, but you know he's not built to be an outside receiver. Neither is Debo. Luke McCaffrey was, you know, not productive this summer. So, and that's the whole room. So I do think it's concerning, whether it's because, you know, Noah Brown isn't quite ready to go week one, you know, full speed, or, you know, something happens during the season. So, yeah, I think it's a concern week one. And honestly, I'm a nervous Nelly with these things. So I like depth, and they don't have much right now at all at that spot.
Talking to Ben Standing, how much better is this year's offensive line compared to last year's?
I mean, if they're all out there, I think pretty significantly better. You know, we all know that Laramie Tunsil's good at his job, but when you get to watch at practice and just see him, somebody comes off the edge and he just like puts one big paw out there and the guy falls down. It is quite remarkable how easy it looks to him to slow these players down. Now, of course, it's mostly watching practice and, you know, a little bit of preseason that he was in there, but he didn't play at all the preseason. Never mind.
Right.
But just some practices, the joint practice. So yeah, we'll see what happens in the game. And he's another, you know, older guy for sure. But yeah, he's good. And then look, I think Connerly improved as the summer went along. You know, Sam Cosmi is still out. He's going to be out at least four games now. When he returns, that'll be a big upgrade. And I think Brandon Coleman is sort of, to me, the difference maker when it comes to, are they good or is their upside go really north of that? He's big, athletic. He missed a bunch of time in camp because of an injury, but I think he's much better suited at guard. And between Tunsil and Biotish, you know, he's going to have some really good guys around him. So, yeah, I think this line could be significantly better once they're all out there.
I feel pretty good about the secondary.
Are you surprised that Diana's claiming that Noah I is being shopped or at least gauging interest?
Well, I saw that and I checked around with some teams. The reaction I got from one was that he's available for the right price, but that price is
pretty
not
high.
A giveaway.
Yeah.
So that kind of sounds like most players. You know, I will note that he played more in the final preseason game than I imagined. Mm-hmm. There were 12 defenders that played at least 30 snaps in that finale. Only three made the team, the two rookie linebackers and Noah Igbinoghene. So, usually that's a bit of a red flag if a guy's playing that much, but they only kept five corners. He's obviously been a good player. So, you know, for the right price, I guess anybody is available, but I don't know what they would do if they were to trade him because, again, they only have five corners right now.
How's Gabe been in practice? Is he nailing them in practice and just, you know, had a couple unfortunate ones in the preseason? Or what's that been like?
I think he's been fairly reliable from 45 in. You know, I think the misses that I'm thinking of are largely been from distance. That was his issue with the Colts. He was only basically a 50% field goal kicker from 50 plus with Indianapolis. So it's a little concerning, but I don't think it's the biggest deal. You know, he's an upgrade over what they had a year ago simply because of the strength of his leg. They actually can attempt longer kicks now than last year. It's not that Cliff Kingsbury wanted to go for fourth down all the time or Dan Quinn. It's just that they also didn't have an option to kick deep ones even if they wanted to. So, you know, I think we're all wondering, kicker such a finicky situation. These guys can, you know, be great or they can go off the rails quick. I'm not too concerned right now, but certainly something to watch, especially anything from 50 plus.
Well, this team's got to stop the run because they couldn't do it last year. And I know they got a bunch of new guys on the defensive line, especially in the backups. I think five, maybe six guys are new. But can they stop the run? That's the key with these guys. Can Kinlaw step it up and earn his money?
Force punts. We got to force punts.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. You know, this is one of the unfortunate things when not only is preseason not typically a great barometer of what's to come, but then on top of it, they didn't even play their guys. So we didn't see too much. I know they're happy with the size they have now with adding Kinlaw and Dietrich Wise. They kept Eddie Goldman, Deron Payne's already, you know, a big guy they had. So I think they're pleased with that. I think they like their depth better than a year ago, and I would concur. Kinlaw has looked really fun this summer. You've heard the reports about Deron Payne stepping up. I think Dorrance Armstrong had a great camp. He might have been the best defender all summer, in my view. So does that help? And I know it's going to help Bobby Wagner having those guys up front eat up blockers and make it a little bit clearer for him to see where the ball carrier goes. And we know his instincts are, you know, among the best in the league. So I don't know. I mean, I'd like to say they're going to improve. Anything, they have to improve off of being 30th. Mm-hmm. I think that's easy to say. Are they good enough to say get to 15th? I don't know. We'll have to watch and see, but yeah. I'm not trying to punt it. It's just, how do we know for sure?
Yeah.
Ben, I want you two things, sort of handicap the NFC East. How much have they closed the gap, if any, with the Eagles? And then, you know, dare we ask you to kind of, in your mind, give us a season prediction? Like, have you gone through the schedule and kind of cranked out a win-loss number?
I have done those types of exercises and have hated doing it because, you know, look, I mean, I live in the real world. Last year was a great year. No, full stop, fun year. Jaden's fantastic. His presence gives you a chance to win. But, you know, how many times are they going to win five straight games? They're going to win five straight games that came down to the last play from scrimmage. You know, the quarterbacks they faced last year were pretty abysmal. And this year, much, much tougher schedule. You figure some of the breaks won't go their way. But I also think the roster has improved. Again, Jaden's fantastic. If Terry is ready to go, then the offense, you know, shouldn't miss a beat. So, I don't know. I know the over-under is like 9.5. I'm inclined to say 10 just because I don't want to get yelled at by people. But I honestly don't, like, sit here and think, boy, this team is definitively going to be a double-digit win team. I think they have a great shot. I think they can compete with the Eagles, and we'll see where Philly's at after losing some pieces. I think the Giants will be much improved. Dallas, they have some top talent, but I don't know what to make of them overall. So, yeah, I mean, I think Washington can be right there. In the NFC's kind of down this year in general, beyond Philly, just for a couple of reasons around the league. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like I said, it's hard for me to look at last year and just say it's easy to replicate when so much is mm-hmm. going to be different. But, again, this is why having Jaden Daniels is so good, because as long as he's there, it is not unrealistic to think you can be a contender.
Yeah,
I agree with that 100%. 100%. What's the best, like, case scenario for the Micah situation? I mean, obviously for us, it's just miss games and don't play. But, like, how do you see that playing out in Dallas?
You know, Jerry does this all the time, and eventually these guys sign deals. In talking to some people who are familiar with the talks, they're like, I don't see it happening, a deal getting done, unless Jerry completely reversed his course instead of the way he's been acting, where he's like, hey, we had a deal, you know, on the back of a napkin, whatever, and now, you know, now they're claiming we don't. I think he's going to have to get over that if he wants Micah out on the field. Unfortunately, there's no chance in hell he's trading Micah here, even though Dan Quinn would surely mm-hmm. love to do that. I think Micah would probably love to play for Dan Quinn again. But, again, logically, just like sort of with the Terry thing, I don't know how they don't get this done, even if there's been a lot of drama to this point. But, yeah, right now that situation feels way more tense than the Terry's one ever did.
Mm-hmm. Totally, especially when you saw that body language on the sideline. Oh, my God, that was bad.
Yeah, for sure.
Really bad. All right, tell people how they could get your work now.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I'm over on Substack. It's a great site, lastmanstanding.substack.com. I've been trying to crank out as much as I can. Obviously, you mentioned the B-Rob thing, a couple other good stuff, good nuggets as well along the way. So, yeah, please check it out. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Ben.
Appreciate the time.
See you, bro.
All right, Ben Standing, everybody's been covering this team for a long time. Does a great job. He was all over the B-Rob before any of us saw it.
We were
like, what? Yep. Come on. They're not getting rid of him.
I said no chance.
He's their one proven guy.
He was correct.
They got rid of him.
Yep. Coming up next,
gave him away.
We're going to have to visit our bet book to take a look at some old bets, because there is a celebrity wedding in the offing.
Ooh.
Get into that next here on the Junkies.